The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
One of the objections to Free Grace Theology is that it leads to a non-genuine faith because the faith is too easy. What should be the motivation to live for Christ? Should it be the fear that my faith wasn't good enough? A great discussion is just ahead. We're glad that you're with us today here on Grace in Focus. We come to you each weekday, Monday through Friday, from the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know more about us, and you can do so by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read articles. There are hundreds of them. Find out about our full-color magazine, Grace in Focus, and our seminary. We have an online seminary. It's free, and you can earn an MDiv degree. All this and more at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
So Mike, you got a kind of a odd question, but I really like it. It's very interesting and very practical.
Yeah, this is from Greg here, and he writes about free grace and his marriage. Shortly after I became a believer, I started having questions in my heart that didn't make sense. And he says this happens because he's going to a non-denominational Arminian church.
And now, this was like 25 or 30 years ago, right?
Right. I guess at this church, they gave him two messages. You're saved by faith alone in a moment, but only if it's a real conversion. And I guess these questions bothered him for a long time. But then he came across our podcast, and finally things began to make sense to him. But then, of course, he says, here come the haters. They call him cheap grace. Saved by grace, get off my case.
I've never heard of saved by grace, get off my case. I like that one. Okay.
I guess that's an excuse to don't tell me how I'm behaving is wrong. Just get off my case because I'm saved by grace.
That's maybe why I don't like that one.
Yeah. And the you can't just do whatever you want and still be saved. And unfortunately, this is really sad. His wife of 29 years won't even talk to him about the subject.
And she was in the same Arminian church all those years.
Yes.
I think not only won't talk to him about it, but what does he say about our magazine?
Yeah, I guess she's very concerned about their 15-year-old son and afraid that Greg is, you know, leading their son down the wrong path. And when she comes across the Grace and Focus magazine, she'll throw them out. And so Greg has to be careful where he leaves them. Otherwise, they're going to end up in the refuse bin. You know, obviously, this is very hard for Greg because, you know, it's affecting his marriage and family life. And he's wondering if we have any advice for him on this.
Yeah, I really do. But let's first discuss why it is his wife has an issue. If you're an Arminian, named from Jacobus Arminius, who was a Calvinist who believed that there should be free will, and he didn't buy the hardline view of election or that Christ only died for a small percentage. He believed Christ died for everybody. So Arminians basically believe that you can choose to believe and you can choose to stop believing. And if you stop believing, you lose your salvation. So Arminians don't believe in eternal security. Their view is basically something like that. Here's how his wife thinks. If our son listens to what Grace and Focus magazine is saying, or Grace and Focus radio is saying, well, then he would no longer be worried about going to hell. He would no longer be worried about his eternal destiny. But in her view, being afraid of hell is vitally important to keep me on the straight and narrow path. If I veer from the straight and narrow path, I'm going to lose my salvation. So believing you can't lose your salvation actually causes you to lose your salvation. Well, I've had the opposite experience. I think you have as well, right? Believing that I can't lose my salvation causes me to follow Christ, causes me to love him, causes me to want to please him.
Yeah, assurance my eternal destiny was secure was the number one motivator for me to want to live a godly life.
Right.
I was so grateful for what Jesus had done. I knew he had done all this for me. I wanted to serve and follow him.
Gratitude is one of the most, if not the most, powerful motivators. It's essentially the motivation of love. We love him because he first loved us, John says in 1 John 4:19. The problem with the Arminian view, it's he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. You know, like the young girl who's pulling on the petals of a daisy and she hopes she gets to the last one that says he loves me.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way they live their lives. They're like, God loves me. Oh, wait a minute. No, I messed up. He doesn't love me anymore. And they go through life like that. The problem with that approach is it actually, for many people, paralyzes them. They get to the point where they're scared to death that they're going to step out of line. And so as a result, some of these people actually stop going to church and they just give up. They're like, well, I guess I'm not going to make it then because I can't do it.
Right. You're going to go to hell either way. So why even try, I guess,
right,
at some point?
Yeah. They get to the point where they're just totally paralyzed by their theology. What I think she needs to recognize is she and her son, if what her husband is saying is true, are not born again. Unless at some point in the past she actually did believe in the free gift of eternal life. Maybe she did when they were young, you know, when they were both in this Arminian church and they were like 20 or 18 or 20 years old. Maybe they got it.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
But what I would suggest to Greg is this. Talk to your wife about that. If what she's saying is true, then he's not born again. Because he doesn't believe that. And if that's what you need to believe to be born again, that we can lose our salvation and that we have to work in order to be saved and that true faith is committed and obedient and following, then okay, I'm not saved and I'm willing to admit that. But you need to admit that if what I'm saying is true, then either you're not saved or you were saved in the past and you're still saved because eternal security is true. But what you believe right now is a false gospel, and she needs to come to grips with that. And she needs to understand that our son, if he doesn't believe the correct message, he's not going to spend eternity with the Lord. Wouldn't she agree with that? And I think her answer would be yes, but in her view, the correct message is you can lose your salvation. Well, then I think, Greg, you can talk to your wife and say, let's do a Bible study together. Let's go through the Gospel of John. Let's see if Jesus teaches that salvation can be lost. When he talks to the woman at the well, he says, whoever drinks this water will never thirst again. And she says, well, give me this water so I don't have to ever come here again and draw water. Well, obviously she understands that he's saying it's permanent.
Right.
But she mistakenly thinks it's physical water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the same thing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He says, do I need to enter my mother's womb again and be born? No, he wasn't talking in physical terms, but he was saying that once you're born again, you have this life forever. It's life everlasting. In John 3:16, he says that the person will not perish. He says in John 6:35, the person will never hunger and will never thirst. In John 6:37, he'll never be cast out. Or in John 10:28 and 29, he says, no one can pluck you from my hand. And he also says in John 11:26 that the one who lives and believes in me shall never die. Greg, go through those verses with your wife and say, these are statements of the security of the believer. This is why it's called good news.
Right.
Is because once you believe, you're secure forever. You cannot lose it. And if you believe you can lose it, you're not yet believing John 3:16. How can you believe John 3:16 and say, but I may perish?
Right. You're contradicting the words of Jesus here. And so I guess your suggestion really for Greg is, you know, she may have a problem with Grace in Focus magazine, but I don't think she would have a problem with, hey, let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the Gospel of John.
And ultimately, her problem isn't with Grace in Focus magazine. It's with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles. Somebody, evidently, according to Greg, the church they've been in has been teaching them false doctrine. And unfortunately, if you're being taught false doctrine and you continue to abide in that false doctrine, well, then you're not yet born again. Unless, of course, like I say, maybe at some point in the past she believed. I remember when I was a senior in college, a friend of mine from the cult group we had both been in. It was a sinless perfection holiness group, extreme lordship salvation. It taught that once you were saved, if you were good enough, you had to clean up your life and turn from your sins and follow Christ until the time at which you could walk forward at a church service and be born again. So you had to be sanctified before you could be born again. And then once you were born again, they taught if you committed one sin, you would lose your salvation and could never get it back. That was extreme lordship salvation. I remember a friend from that group had come to faith through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ at another college. And he came to me the summer before my senior year. Classes had already started at his school. I was still a week away from starting. And he said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? Well, Greg, that's what I'd say. Ask your wife that. If that's possible, then wouldn't you want to know? So I went with my friend John Carlson to a Campus Crusade for Christ meeting at his college. I was intrigued by what I heard. I thought it was false teaching because it sounded too good to be true. What did he call it? Cheap grace. It sounded like that. But on the other hand, they did cite Bible verses, and it made a certain amount of sense. So I contacted Crusade at my college and started meeting with Warren Wilkie, and he kept hammering Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. 5 meetings, 5 hours, and finally on the 5th meeting, I got it. I believed. And I would say the same thing for your wife and son, Greg. Their eternal destiny hinges on them believing the promise of everlasting life. And so don't give in. But on the other hand, in a loving way, say one of us is right and one is wrong. Can we agree with that? And she's going to say, of course, you're wrong.
Right.
And you could say, but what if I am right? What if this is what Jesus is saying? Wouldn't you want to believe it?
You can't force them to believe, but you can ask them, please be open to this. You know, would you consider it?
Exactly. And my friend was praying for me.
Yeah.
Before he came to me, he'd been praying about this. Greg should be praying about this.
Yeah.
Pray for your wife. Pray for your son. Then approach your wife. Talk with her first. Of course, Greg needs to talk to his son.
Yeah.
He doesn't want his son to not know the saving message. But I think he should start with his wife. Try to win her over. I think she can see the power of the free gift of eternal life. Now, she's probably been told it's a free gift, but it costs you everything. That's not just some kind of mystery. That's illogical.
That's a contradiction.
So, fantastic question. And, Greg, I hope you have good results in talking with your wife and with your son. And, Lord, we do pray that he would have an impact on them and that she would get the clear, free gift of eternal life, and so would the son if they've not yet been born again. And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace
in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, in Acts 8, what did Philip mean by believe with your whole heart? Please come back for that, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.